You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
All right, so here's my question to you. It's a two-part question.
We're live. We're recording. This is pod material.
I know. Two-part question. Do you like toast? And if so, how toasted do you prefer your toast?
What a great question. Or great questions.
I think this is almost like a personality test, too. Like, you know those...
I know.
Like,
I don't want to fail it.
Business exams where they tell you what kind of, you know...
You should have asked me this before we went into business together.
It should be the primary question you ask anyone going into any relationship. Marriage, yeah. Business.
Listen, before we get married, I need to know your preference on toast. I actually would not have... I mean, hot take. I would not have married my wife if I knew her preference for toast. She likes burnt toast, like incredibly burnt toast. So I don't like burnt toast.
So I feel like I know you well enough. This is where I was thinking you might be on the toast spectrum before I ask you this question.
There's a toast spectrum?
Yeah. Well, it's the shades the toaster dial.
Right.
So my guess was you would either be I don't like toast or like super light toast. That was my guess.
I don't eat a lot of toast. I do. I have in my life. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved toast. I love toasted things. I love like a grilled cheese sandwich or something, but anything like that. But I mean, too toasted and it, like gets your gums. It starts shredding the roof of your mouth. I mean,
oh yeah.
You got to be careful if you get it too toasty. And I don't like burnt things. You could ask the same question for pizza crust. I don't like a wood, what are they called? Call that
a wood fire oven.
Wood fire oven. If it's too burnt, it's just not like there's a really famous pizza place in Phoenix called Barrio. What's it called? I forget what it's called. It's super famous. So famous. I don't even remember it. Bianco. It's called Bianco.
Wasn't there a Netflix show about this?
Probably. He's a very famous dude in the food community. He's a cool guy too, but he loves to burn his pizza crust and I'm not a fan. Make it kind of dark. And I'm not a fan of it. You know, the bottom, I don't mind a little bit of a crispy crust or a crispy toast, but too much and I'm out. If you can taste the burn, I'm not a fan.
Okay, so what is your answer now? You haven't given me a straight answer on your preference.
I don't like it too soggy. I don't like it too burnt. I'm just right down the middle when it comes to toast.
Medium.
Medium. A browned toast.
Yeah.
I don't like a soggy. I mean, when I was a kid, my favorite way to prepare toast, which I'll answer that question too. When I was a kid, my favorite way to prepare it was kind of disgusting, like an absurd amount of butter, cinnamon, and sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes on raisin bread. And that was so good.
I still like that.
I do too. And that I actually prefer pretty soggy because it you can't really help it. It just gets soggy. But my favorite savory toast, probably my favorite toast, a little butter, a little Parmesan cheese.
That sounds good.
You ever tried that? Talking like the powdered Parmesan cheese because it really has to get in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Welcome to Toast Talk, everybody. How do you
like
your toast?
Welcome to Waveform.
Drop a comment. You know, we're not in a box here. We can talk about whatever we want. How do you?
Okay, so
let's get your toast preference here, buddy.
I'm about the same. I like it medium dark, like not burnt, but I do like it a little crispy. I like my pizza crust kind of crispy as well. So like slightly on the medium high. but not
I mean,
black.
You're a Chicago dude. Do you like a deep dish? Are you a Grimaldi's guy? Is that the place?
Garibaldi's.
Whatever.
There's a few. That's just yeah. one of the many. There's Garibaldi's. There's Malnati's.
So do you like a pizza soup, as I like to call those?
I think that the Chicago deep dish pizza is, it's kind of...
disgusting?
I think it's overblown. Yeah, I don't think as many people in Chicago actually enjoy it as much as people outside of Chicago think. And it's not something you eat regularly. That thing is, you're basically eating blocks of melted cheese. So I'm not a huge fan of them. I like a thin crust pizza, like a Chicago style thin crust pizza.
I love
it. It's almost like a cracker crust.
I love a cracker. I love a Domino's thin crust where there's almost nothing on it. It's just a cracker with a little bit of something.
Yeah. So I think I like things a little toasty, a little crispy. That's my preference. I do think there's a personality connection. Now, I'm not a psychologist or anything that, specialized enough to make the connection and, like, deduce a personality type based on toast preference, but I'd be willing to bet there's a connection to certain personality types.
Oh, there's got to be. There's got to be. All right.
All right. Should we talk about something else?
Yeah. How do you feel about eggplant? No. Okay. So we'll – let's jump into – the Bitcoin
competition.
The record, it's over.
The record competition is over.
We got some winners.
Congratulations to the 21 finalists. And then also special congrats to Martin Grooms, who got number one
on the top prize.
Yeah, with a great song, The Hard Way.
Man, I love that song.
Yeah, so and now we're scrambling along with some help with the Bitcoin conference people to get this record put together.
Yeah, but now we have to actually make it. Yeah, it's a little tight. Final production's not an easy thing to do. So I think it's going to get there though, and it's going to look really cool. I think there's more info coming on how you can now get this record at some point in time. We got some cool artwork to show you. Going to be some cool stuff coming up. Other winners, who do we have? We have Joe Martin, Man Like Quex, Real Richard, Kavinia,
Iroh,
Chuti, Ainsley Costello, Just Loud, Sarah Jade, Shy Kids, Alicia Stockman. Who else? Wook Knight.
Yep.
I think we just named them all. Those were the winners.
It's a really great mix, I think. I'm really happy with the way the record turned out. Or at least the lineup and the artwork. I think it's going to... I'm really excited to hold it and play it at home.
Agree.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And I believe... So we can announce... We can like say this publicly now because it's public. The party in Nashville on Thursday, July 25th. Do I have that right?
You do. Thursday, July 25th. It's industry day. So after industry day, if you have an industry day ticket or you just, most people are getting in, a lot of people are getting in Wednesday night, going to industry day. A lot of people aren't. They're just getting in Thursday, going on Friday and Saturday. So I think we're covering the bases there and we're just doing it on Thursday, 7 o'clock. It's going to kind of go all night.
At the Vinyl Lounge, coincidentally also the place.
Yeah, the Vinyl Lab is producing the record.
Yeah, the lab is connected to the lounge. And I think we're going to have copies of it for sale at the party.
I think so, unless it sells out in advance of it. But yeah, I mean, hopefully we have some records there. I'm going to bring some, we'll have some Wavelake merch. Hopefully some of the bands have some merch. But we got Joe Martin playing, Ainsley Costello, Just Loud, The High or Low. And then I don't know if, some people may be familiar with this Satoshi Rakamoto situation, which is fun. It's basically, we've been calling it karaoke, but it's not really. It's just like if you know a song and you want to get up and play guitar, you could be like, I want to play, Cherub Rock by the Smashing Pumpkins, and I know how to play a bass for it. And and if you get like enough people that know how to play that song, or at least kind of know how to play that song, then you'd go up and play it, and it's fun. So I have yet to participate in it, but I've seen it. It looks cool. Maybe I'll do Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. That's right up my alley.
Or do you do a good Fred Durst?
Ba with the Ba by Kid Rock. Do something.
Yeah, something very raucous.
Yes, aggressive.
Yeah. So please, if you want to come to the party, I hope you do. And if you're going to be in Nashville, you should totally come. You can RSVP through the Wavelake app right now.
Big news here. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just released a new feature in the Wavelake app, and then we built a really simple ticketing agent so that people can RSVP through Noster and Lightning. This is, I think, a pretty cool, I guess it's a proof of concept. It's a prototype for ticketing over Noster and Lightning, which we can talk more about, I think, later in the show. But yeah, you should come to the party. I think it's going to be fun. And then we'll open up a more general, you know, RSVP through Eventbrite, you know, I think in June or thereabouts.
Yeah, we'll give some people some time to do this.
There'll be a free gift, too, that Sam will be making.
I'll be providing
the RSVP through the app or through Noster.
Is it swag or swag? Is that a
it's
maybe
swag.
That's a personality testing, too.
It is.
Say swag.
If you say swag, there's a
either way, I kind of hate the word. I don't really, I'm not a fan of the word either way. However you say it, it's not my favorite word.
Anyway,
it's kind of like
you get a free gift.
It's kind of like gig. Yeah. Do you like the word gig?
I'm okay with it.
You are?
Yeah.
I guess it's all right.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I'm coming around to gig. All right.
But yeah.
What else?
I think it'll be a cool gift, though, I imagine.
It's going to be a super cool gift. Yes. It's going to be difficult to carry. So bring a poster tube. Oops. Spoiler alert. Cool. Yeah. I mean, this Ticketbot thing, you know, I don't want to gloss over it too much. I mean, it's pretty cool. The potential, I mean, where it stands now, it's maybe not incredibly impressive.
But it's pretty basic.
The spark of something of a much greater idea. You know,
yes.
I think it's going to be really cool for like simplistic in its simplicity of just being able to throw up an event like you might on an Eventbrite or a meetup or something like that. But digging a little deeper, I think it's cool to really, you know, potentially start to fix this issue with fees, with scalpers, with all kinds of things. I mean, just to have over the years, I've seen a few of these ticket companies come up, which have been really cool. And they always seem to get bought out by Ticketmaster or Ticket Web or one of the other ones, you know, like one of these bigger ones will just kind of swoop in and give an offer that's too good to pass up, and these cool ticketing companies end up kind of disappearing. But I don't know, if you have an open source option here for something you can build and work on and be held accountable to, and you can cryptographically sign your ticket and it's only transferable. I guess explain how that works, because I mean somebody on Noster this morning was like, please make it so you can't resell a ticket, which I don't necessarily agree with, because what if you want to?
I don't agree with that,
you know,
either.
Like, what if you can't make it and you want to, or you want to give it to your brother or something? You know, it's like there's got to be some way to do that. But I was thinking that through a little bit, and it seems like when you buy your ticket, you sign for your ticket with your Noster account some way, you know, your NSEC through some sort of signer. Then you would do that when you transfer it too, right? And then so now you own it. So then when you get to the door, that's also recognizing that you are you. So I think that's still really important to be able to do that. But it also seems like it would just make it difficult to do that at a large scale. It'd be hard for a scalper to do that, for example. Like they could buy tickets, but they couldn't really do that in the same way that they they do now, right? Because it's not like their tickets aren't necessarily linked to them specifically. I know Ticketmaster tries to do that in some ways. And they could still skirt around it by just getting multiple people to go in and buy. You can get like a team of 50 people to go buy tickets, you know, and then get them under one umbrella. But I don't know. It's interesting to think about the holes here still and then what it kind of solves immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of ideas on how we could expand this going forward. I don't know how much time we've got though. And also a lot of these ideas are half baked, but
I love half baked ideas. I like your ideas. Like I like my toast.
But yeah, I think what we built was just, we talked for a couple weeks about building this and sort of what it was going to do and what it wasn't going to do, just so that we could contain the development roughly within a week's worth of time. And just strip down this ticketing agent to the most barest essentials we could think of to just support our use case, which was we have this party in Nashville that has limited capacity and we want users to be able to book an RSVP through Noster with a Lightning payment. And then we want to be able to give them a ticket. And then when they show up at the door, they use that ticket to get in. Like that was all we wanted to accomplish with this. And I think we've been able to do that. But yeah, as you've been saying, the exciting thing about it is that with the technology and the tools that we've chosen to build this on, there is the potential to do so much more. The issue with scalpers, I think, will always be there. It's like anything when it comes to security or spamming or, you know, hacking, like it's always a game of cat and mouse. So that's probably never going to go away, but this tech does give us an opportunity to try and minimize or fight back a little bit, and make the, at least try and improve on the problem that exists. I can go on about this more, but do you want to play a song first and then we can kind of like get into sort of high pie in the sky ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. So to celebrate, to continue celebrating the concert announcement that we're doing on July 25th, the headliner that night is going to be Joe Martin. So I wanted to pick, I think this is my favorite song. Maybe I put this even on like a mixtape at one point or another, but this song, Amelia, which is the live version of Amelia from the first 5 years live record that he put out. It's just so, the song is so good, and hearing it stripped down to just him and an acoustic guitar, listen to it. You'll I don't even have to tell you. You'll understand what I'm talking about just if you listen to it. So here's Amelia set two. So I guess this is he must have done a couple nights putting this together, but here's Amelia set two from the first 5 years.
It's a full moon out tonight, and the fire's dying down. So pour the last drops off the wine, and we can stop pretending now. Surrender each and every word. Reveal what hasn't yet been said. Is this the end or the beginning of this love that fills my heart and hurts my I don't want to want you, but I know I need you to come back to me. Amelia, this could be our last dance, so take one more chance and give me your hand. Amelia, you said the love was just a lie, so I went searching for the truth. Now I've been through substance and religion, and it's brought me right back here to you. Well, I don't want to want you, but I know I need you to come back. Could be our last dance, so take one more chance and give me your hand. Want to want you, but I know I need you to come back to me. Amelia, this could be our last dance, so take one more chance and give me your hand. Amelia,
I hope you zapped the shit out of that song.
Joe's the real deal, man.
He is. He's so pumped to meet that dude in person and get to see him live on the 25th. Yeah. I don't know how you could miss it. If you're in Nashville, better see you there.
Come out. And I think someone shared a picture of the Vinyl Lounge with us. He was like just there last night.
Oh, Jim,
Yeah. And the place looks nice. I mean, I've seen like pictures on their site, but then Jim saying like, I'm just sitting at the bar.
Looks like there's some kind of, there's like some kind of crazy screen on the roof or on the ceiling.
And we got LCD thing. Yeah. On the ceiling.
Yeah. We got a,
but it looks like a really, it looks like a really just cool spot to see music and hang out.
Yeah. So, it's going to be cool. It's like three levels, I think. There's an outdoor area, so it's like if you want to just come for the hang and hear music in the background, or if you want to watch the show, if you want to, you know, choose your own adventure there. And it's free, and like if you can all the sats that are, it's important to note, probably all the sats that are contributed to the ticket, so it's a minimum of one sat, but you can give whatever you want, obviously. That's how this stuff works. And all of that's going to the artists. We're just going to distribute that at the end of the night to everybody. Yeah. So, yeah.
Come to the party. Come to the party.
Show up. RSVP early. Nice RSVP on Wavelake. Tell your friends. Let's get you there.
That song reminded me of, I've always had a soft spot for songs with just someone's name as the title. So I was during the song. I mean, the song has some great lyrics too. I love that. What's that?
They're great. Yeah.
Something about substance and religion. Anyway, I like that line.
I love the progression of that song. It's so quiet and it never gets like too big, but it's just, it has this nice steady climb into this, you know, like a crescendo, I believe is the turn, but it's just so, naturally done in that one. It's really cool. I love the live version so much. I love the other version too, but the live version's great.
Yeah. But, so I was thinking of other, I was like, oh, there are a lot of good songs out there that are just someone's name.
Yeah.
And I feel like someone, there should be a list somewhere out there. But then
I'm sure there's a list that's compiled just for people looking to name their children after songs.
Exactly. You know that Rolling Stones song, Angie?
Angie? Yeah.
I still remember the first time I heard that song. I still remember like riding in my friend's car with the windows down. First time I heard that song.
Here's a personality question. I don't like the Stones. I'm not a Stones guy.
I could have guessed that based on Stones your Beatles, guy. I mean, on your Beatles bias.
I respect the Stones for what they are and their place in music history, but
that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, good.
Coming from
I'm
you.
I'm glad I'm putting off that energy.
Yeah, I was late to the Stones. I was big on the Beatles up through high school, and then in college I got into the Stones. Not like huge.
I don't know why people compare the two. I do love the Stones. Because they're not even like remotely the same.
They are
kind of band.
They're totally different. They're contemporaries.
They do get that. Yeah, they do get that. To me, I feel like the Beach Boys are more of a, like musically, more competition. Somebody asked me. Yeah, somebody asked me I was out of town last week, and someone asked an impossible question: what I think is the best song ever written. And I just instinctually said, God only knows. I feel like that's the,
oh,
I think
yeah.
that's it. I feel like.
That's a great, I just heard that so at a hardware store last week. And I was like, this is a beautiful song.
It is so beautiful. And like, especially if you listen to it in headphones and you just zone everything else out, you'd have a hard time not agreeing with me. I think that's, you know, it covers all the bases. It's like great craftsmanship, great instrumentation, killer melody, vocals, insane emotion. It's like the perfect
lyrics.
Pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that's like, that comes from a very specific moment in time too, where songwriters, like in that case, I'm pretty sure I'm right, but I'm not totally confident, but Brian Wilson wrote the music and then there was a lyricist who did all the lyrics, I believe, for Pet Sounds, which that song appears on. And I don't think that's as common anymore, where like you have like music writers and then like lyricists who, you know, they have like discrete tasks, at least in pop music. There's a lot of like collaboration and co-writing, but the idea of like a lyricist in pop music is not as common.
Yeah,
these days.
The Beach Boys did that a couple times. I'm a huge Van Dyke Parks fan, and he came in and did a lot of the lyrics for Smile, or what was going to be Smile at the time. I can't remember who was primarily writing with Brian for Pet Sounds, but you're right. There was another person who wasn't one of the Beach Boys. Mike Love wrote a couple. I think Mike Love wrote what, Good Vibrations maybe or something. I can't remember which one he did with him.
Yeah.
There were a couple other Beach Boy internal writers on that record, but yeah.
That's a good choice though. It's a good, I don't know what I would come up with for your favorite song of all time, but that's a hell of a choice.
I just looked it up. It's Tony Asher is the person who was
the lyricist
collaborator on Pet Sounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. That was driving me crazy.
All right, so let's talk about ticketing a bit more. There is a
ticketing part two
post. There is a post in our zine about this. There's also like details about the announcement. If you just go to tickets.wavelake.com, it'll send you right to that blog post. And then
thanks for doing that, also, by the way.
No problem. Sam's referring to a link that didn't exist in our, in some of our,
I put it on a flyer without marketing. It before it existed. Yeah.
But we took care of it. And I learned something along the way, which is always good. But yeah, so we have a zine post that explains how Tickabot works and why we did it. And like, I don't know if everyone is familiar with how ticketing works. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, I would imagine you have some sense of how, just how expensive it is to go to a concert these days. Like, just flat out expensive.
Dude, my wife just sent me a screenshot for an Alex G show. The ticket was $38 and the fee was $20.
Yeah.
So that's, if you weren't aware, it's, yeah, the fees are becoming, they're catching up to the 50, price, face value of a ticket. Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, so I've been watching, I don't know if you're a Taylor Swift fan. I am, unabashedly. And, I've been watching her Eras Tour movie. I haven't seen the whole thing yet because it's like 19 hours long.
Dang.
But I've heard... No, not for real. It's like... I think it's 3 hours and 45 minutes. But I've been watching it and I've heard... I have a couple friends who have gone to see this tour and they paid, you know, like a couple $1,000 a ticket to go to the show. And I've been watching this like concert movie of her Eras Tour, and I'm like watching it like, oh, this actually, I kind of want to go to this now. Like, this is an incredible show. So she's playing in Indianapolis, which isn't far from Chicago, in the fall. And I was like, let's just see how much these tickets cost. And it's like $3,000 or $4,000 a ticket. But out of curiosity, I was like, what? I mean, there's no way Taylor Swift originally sold these tickets for $4,000. So I go back and like look at what the face value of the tickets were, and they're like $200 or $300, which still is a lot, but you're talking about like a tenth of the cost of these resales.
Have you ever seen that clip of on like, I think it's Kurt Cobain on MTV, and they're telling him that the cost of, I forget who the band is, but they're like, do you hear those tickets are $50? Or maybe it might have even been $20, like 20 or 50. And he's just like, what? Like, he cannot believe that he's like, who would do that? Who would have a ticket that's that much money?
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotten insane. And I don't know what the business arrangement is for like resale of these Taylor Swift tickets, but I'd be surprised if she's actually seeing any of that markup in the resale. Maybe she is.
Here comes my train, by the way.
Well, I can hear it. We can all hear it.
Can everybody hear this train? Here.
You don't even need to move the mic.
Man. I don't have to move it.
No, it's just
right,
it's
on cue.
Everywhere. It's omnipresent. But yeah, I mean, as a fan of someone who just wants to go see the show, you know, it's just sad that there's just someone sitting on the side saying like, oh, well, I've got a ticket for you if you'd like one. Only problem.
Yeah.
Is,
and that's
going to
be tough. It's still going to be tough to those sorts of issues are always going to be there. You know, it's not,
I think so, but let's talk about
to some extent, but there's there are ways though that they can be controlled. You know, there are things like, did we talk about, maybe we just talked about it when we were talking to Shy Kids. I can't remember if we did on the, when they were on the episode or if that was just a different call, but you know, like Maggie Rogers is opening up like physical ticket outlets again, which was cool. I mean, when I grew up, that's what I have to do. I go down to Dillard's or a record store or something and you'd wait in line, you'd buy your ticket at the door. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's that. I think like, it, you know, and there's been some discussion on social about the ticket bot agent that we built for the RSVP service. And, you know, one of the easiest ways that like you could restrict sales is just using NPubs. So like Nostra Identities can just serve as a filter, and an artist could say, well, if you've zapped me X amount, or if you've zapped me, you know, before this date, or you've zapped one of my albums on Wavelake, or we've interacted, or you've shared a link to one of my songs, like any number or combination.
Yeah, that's how
of
you could do a,
could
a
all be used
to ensure
as
somebody,
a presale. Yeah,
yeah.
But I was also thinking about something. You know, someone posted like the scalper issue. Like, oh well, couldn't a scalper just make like 100 Nostr identities and then buy 2 tickets under each one and then go off and resell them? And that is true. Like, someone could do that. But because of the way we've built this, so just to be clear, you know, you can only RSVP right now through the Wavelake app. But we've designed the ticket and the mechanism to buy a ticket in a way that any client could buy that ticket if they just speak Nostr. So it's a standard calendar event. It just happens to have a fee added as a tag within the event. And then if you zap that event with the minimum 1 sat, your Nostr PubKey will receive a direct message from the ticketing agent with your ticket inside of it. And what's kind of neat about that is that, yeah, the ticket gets delivered directly to your Nostr account or your Nostr identity. But in addition to that, we could also figure out a way to transfer that ticket. So if you couldn't go to the show for some reason and you're like, I want to give my ticket to Sam, and what I could do is we could create a system where I tell the ticketing agent, I am giving this ticket to Sam, so destroy mine and create a new one for Sam's NPub. And once you destroy mine and then send the ticket to Sam, there's a new ticket that Sam gets in his direct messages. My ticket is no longer valid, and now Sam can go see the show without, you know, without having to worry about, like, you know, has he been scammed or has the ticket been duplicated? Because the ticket is issued from our Wavelake ticketing service identity. So you know that it's authentic. So there's that way to transfer or sell a ticket. So like if Sam, you wanted to buy a ticket for me and I said, all right, give me $10. I'll send you the ticket. It could use that same mechanism.
Yeah.
On top of that, another thing that you could build is a way for an artist to potentially cap the amount that a ticket could be resold at. So they could say, like,
I'm okay with the
transfer this
markup.
Ticket. Yeah, but I'm okay with like 10 to 20% up, but like you cannot mark it up any higher than that. Plus, if you do mark it up, you have to give me 90% of the profit. That is something that we could do using this ticketing agent. So we could build in essentially a split for a person reselling a ticket, not necessarily a scalper, but just someone who maybe can't go to the show anymore or change their mind about the show. Or maybe they do want to make a profit off of a resale. Fine. But you wouldn't necessarily be able to take all the profits, and you would be capped in what you could profit in terms of a resale. I don't know. I think some mechanism like that, you know, probably there's probably still some holes and gaps that I'm not thinking of.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It would create a system where people who really want to go to the show could get tickets more easily to the show and not have to pay an arm and a leg to go to that concert. And if tickets were resold at a profit, at a premium to the original face value, an artist could share in that. And I think that would be beneficial for them as well. Like, if their tickets are worth more, you know, than face value on the street, then, yeah, why not allow the artist to benefit from that? So there's a lot
of
potential.
There's more. I mean, like a hole that goes into that is like there's a promoter, you know, generally. So the way that a deal is worked out is based on face value, you know. So that artist, Taylor Swift, is doing this tour and her the promoter of the show is Live Nation or something, and there's a certain deal at a certain percentage, and if it sells out, you get a some back end on that. And so someone in Telegram had mentioned splits, like splits on the, and that's a really cool thing that could happen too, is like you, that money couldn't just go, I mean, if it was a one-to-one thing, if it, I think Paul McCartney sells his own tickets through MPEL, I think is his production company. I think he facilitates his own ticketing for his, when he goes on tour, if I'm not mistaken, or some version of something. But so if it was something like that, it's just an exchange between the artists, and maybe his shows sell out or are big enough that I think, and he's Paul McCartney, that I think he just works out deals directly with the arenas that he's playing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that would be cool. But if it's not, if you're just going through a typical promoter, and even on a small scale, if you're just playing a club or a theater, it would be cool to work typically like a promoter splits like 15% or something. And it would be cool if they also were able to participate. So there would have to be, much like when we start digging into the royalty split stuff, we start getting into publishers and percentages at certain tiers and things like that. And there's also different kinds of deals. Like there's back end deals where, and door deals, you know, where you're just like, we're 50-50 on this thing. And I, as someone who used to tour in clubs and stuff, loved the door deal. That's because I like taking the risk. It's like, we can get $200 guaranteed. That's why they call it a guarantee. Or, you know, you're placing the bet on yourself, and you say, look, let's go in on this together. It's a 50-50 split. If you lose money, whatever. But if we do really good, we're going to get a little bit of extra money on the back end, because you don't have a guarantee, you know, so you won't lose.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay us. You'll lose your expenses, but you won't have to pay us.
Yeah. Basically if everyone loses money, if it doesn't go well.
Yeah, it's like the promoter still
wins if it does.
Yeah, it's like we lost our gas to get there. We did that. So it sucks for us too. We didn't sell any merch. No one showed up. So it sucks for us. You had to pay for security and whatever, you know, so you lost some money too. But you didn't have to pay us $200, because normally you do. If you give a guarantee, it's like, doesn't matter if one person shows up or 100 people show up. You still got to pay that $200 out to the band, unless you're doing that. So just the variables and the, in that type of situation will need to be figured out, you know. But I think starting off small and doing, you know, just like this direct thing, you know, like we're doing, like we're putting on this show, we're paying all the expenses, we can handle the tickets, we're paying the bands out, which is very cut and dry. And then just incrementally trying these things and figuring out how to do them every step of the way until you end up getting to a point where you can handle a capacity of a bigger show. But there was a time when I was running an incredibly small ticketing company for promotion, or for I was a promoter for a minute with a friend of mine, and even up to a scale of like 1500 capacity rooms, 2000 rooms, you don't need much. Like this would work today for that, you know, like this would, even as it stands now with a very simple payment structure, it would work today for something like that. It only starts getting really complicated when you start digging into you know, huge theaters and arenas and those types of things where you have so many people involved, and things start getting outside of the hands of the artist, and it just becomes it's more of a business thing than it is like a handshake deal with a promoter and a band in a van or something, you know? So I'm excited where this is going. I think this is, it's just cool to be able to start incrementally throwing these things in here and seeing, you know, how they work. And I think it really helps to open people's eyes a little more to see how powerful all this technology really is. You know, when it's like, we're not just trying to be Spotify, we're really trying to change a lot of things here, and we're not trying to control it either. This is all with these things that we put out there. Again, just to remind everybody, it's all open. Go download it and start messing around with it and plug it into your client, or build something new. I mean, somebody who was like, a standalone version of this would be a game changer. It's like, cool. Go do it.
Yeah.
Go do it. We agree. Like, go do that, and we'll do it. You know, we'll be right there with you.
Yeah. I mean, someone could create a web client that has, you know, a Noster, plugin that can sign messages. As long as it can sign messages and, you know, someone can pay a Lightning invoice, you can RSVP to the party. You don't have to use the Wavelake app.
Yeah.
And if you have questions, like, you know, send us a message or something. I tried to lay out as simply as possible. Like, it's not that complicated how it works. And I tried to lay that out in the blog post. But yeah, if you have questions, let us know, because we'd love to see someone build something or show that, you know, that you can RSVP to this without the app. That would be really cool.
Yeah, we're just throwing the idea out there, and we'll keep working on it too. We have other ideas for this and where it could go outside of just doing it this week for this event that we're putting out. But
yeah,
that's the fun thing about these open source things. Like, take it and inspire us to do other stuff too. You know, it's like we should be working together on all this stuff. It's how it's going to get done.
We just had a really good excuse to build this because we had this party that we wanted to ticket for. And so it worked out.
Absolutely. Well, what else? Oh, we got our mailbag.
Mailbag.
Give it a boost. Give it a boost.
Messages. You've got boost.
I've heard of audience participation shows, but this is ridiculous.
What do we got?
All right, here we go. So we just have a couple messages. We've actually been getting lots of like short messages about both mixtape and the show. Like, it'll just be like a thumbs up emoji or like great song or something like that. So thank you for sending those. And then a couple messages. Did I read this one already last week? I don't think I did.
No.
Shout out obscure Northwest Indiana genres. Check out the Coneheads and CCTV Northwest Indiana legends. That's from Tubbs via Fountain.
Yeah, because I think we were talking about like very specific genres, right?
It was a punk, wasn't it? Egg punk. The genre.
Yeah.
And it was somehow connected to Northwest. Or no, then that led to some other.
Just so many subgenres and regional subgenres of punk music.
Yeah. So we'll check out Coneheads and CCTV. Thanks, Tubbs.
Yeah.
And then this was from an anonymous user on Fountain for our last episode. Keep breaking stuff. Sign of the Devil.
That's just foreshadowing my Limp Bizkit song I'm going to do at the Satoshi Rakamoto. Yes, we will keep breaking stuff.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. We don't intentionally try to break anything. It actually drives me crazy when things don't work. But,
now,
you know, sometimes when you're moving quickly, things don't
Yeah,
work
do you think,
exactly
I mean, are you taking
expect.
This comment as like keep breaking stuff in a good way? Like breaking other
yes.
stuff?
Yes, oh, for sure, for sure. But there is a 10% part of me that has my feelings hurt, yes. Where it's like, that wasn't on purpose.
Like,
we do
I tried
try to
add
make
something.
Sure things work. We do
yeah, things,
like our best
should,
to, but
should be working.
Things
I'm
should
curious,
work.
I'm curious, yeah. Like, have people been making playlists? Let's get some comments on that. I'm curious if people have been, you know, what sort of newish features people have been utilizing. I want to see more shared playlists on Nostr. I haven't seen a ton, you know, so I want to make sure people know that that exists. You can make a playlist. You can share it. At some point in time, maybe you'll even be able to get some of the revenue split there if someone shares your playlist or if someone likes your playlist, apps your playlist.
Yeah. I mean, we've found playlists to be really handy for making mixtape. This is how we share playlists with you and playlists with each other for the next volume of mixtape.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, and I've seen a few people share some playlists out there on Nostr, but I would like to see more. Because I want to know what people are listening to. I want to discover, you know, it's like we hear a lot of stuff that comes in, but it's at this point it can get easy to miss. I mean, there's 7,000 songs or something on there right now. It's kind of tough to get through all those.
It might not be obvious to people that you can even share a playlist. That's part of maybe.
Yeah, so that's I want people to know.
But we'll be working. We'll be working on that.
Yeah, you can share that playlist and. And
we've got some fun stuff planned for the mobile app that should make this way
or
more
even
obvious.
Like maybe you don't want to do that much work, just drop it in the comments. What are you listening to? Like, give us your top few songs you're listening to. I want to I want to hear some stuff, some new stuff.
Yeah.
I need some new jams.
So speaking of I got a song that we can play. This one, you know, there was a flurry of new music uploaded in the past month. So this one, I felt like this one kind of slipped under the radar because there was so much, music being uploaded.
Yeah.
This is, let's just play it and then we can talk about it. This is Nathan Dale. And the song's called Face First. That's Nathan Dale with Face First. It's off an album called Major Keys Parade.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's from what I can tell, it's kind of a concept album. And
I hadn't heard that one yet.
Covers a bunch of genres, and I think the idea is it kind of goes through the life of a person from like birth to the end.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go check out that whole thing.
I don't know anything about this person. This is like one of the fun things about this is I don't know where Nathan Dale comes from. I don't know his background. It's just
Nathan Dale is like an indie pop rock singer songwriter from the United States. He also plays guitar in a band called the Jackie Green Band.
Okay,
a little tidbit there.
Nice,
but yeah, it is cool because it's like we would prior to. Wavelake, it might be kind of hard to discover Nathan Dale, and now we're fans. Nathan Dale hopefully has some zaps coming in.
Yes, yeah, zap the guy. So I think that's it for this week, unless we missed something. But
I don't think so. I think we did pretty good. Right around that hour mark. That's a sweet spot.
That's good. Coming up to it, yeah. So. Just as another reminder, come RSVP to the party. Come out to Nashville if you can. We'd love to see you. I think it'll be a great show. It'd be fun to see a lot of people there.
Yeah, that's all. Tell your friends. Let's get you out there. And you know how these things go. There's lots of stuff going on, so it's like, just pop in, pop out, pop back in. It's like a 5-minute Uber from the main conference area, maybe a 10-minute walk or 15-minute walk or something. Walking's good for you.
It's true.
So you should, you really have no excuse. If you're going to be in Nashville for this thing, or maybe you live in Nashville already, come on out. Come on over.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that does it for this week.
That does it. Let's wrap it up.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Still got to work on those outros.
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by WaveLake. WaveLake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.